At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It is Ryer on YouTube. It is late, just before 11 o'clock Central Time here on the channel, and some things don't change, regardless of the year, regardless of the time. The Alabama Crimson Tide, one more time over the Georgia Bulldogs, this time at Sanford Stadium. The Crimson Tide snaps UGA's nation-leading 33-game home winning streak. The Alabama Crimson Tide now 7-1 all time against its former defense coordinator, Kirby Smart. A game that had a little bit of everything. It felt like at the end there had been more than 45 points scored. And I think for both teams, in retrospect, it will be the thought process of we should have scored more than 24 if you're Alabama, or Georgia is definitely going to feel like it should have scored more than 21 points. But at the end of the day, in the big moments, Alabama came up big. Ty Simpson, once again, a very confident performance, came out. Ryan Grubb leaving nothing in the bag all the way up until that final third down. What a great call there. I mean, you knew Georgia was loading up on the run. You gave a zone run to the left look with your offensive line, so you got linebackers kind of keying on that, I think. And then you release Jam Miller to the other side in the flat. And as Kalen DeBoer, who just addressed the media there in Athens, said, pretty safe play because, you know, it's not a taxing type of stressful middle of the field throw. And you're going to depend on your quarterback, if he doesn't have it, to make the right decision, get down in bounds, make Georgia utilize its timeout, and then punt the football deep if that's what you have to do. But to win a game like that, it takes a little bit of everything. And Alabama had those things on Saturday night. Takes a little luck, too. Takes a little luck. And the deep ball drop by the Georgia Bulldogs is one that fan base won't forget anytime soon. And, you know, look, you got to still capitalize on those opportunities and those things that go your way. And Alabama did that. Give the Alabama defense credit there in the sort of later third into the fourth. Did what they had to do. Got the big fourth down stop in a 24-21 game. And that was close. You know, that was a situation where, you know, for Georgia, Cash Jones there, you get just enough of him, I guess, with LT Overton that he's going to go down. It just feels like too many times in the last year and change that type of play would go against Alabama. It did not. And Alabama made the play there. Georgia goes fast. You know, Georgia's kind of having its way on the ground and goes faster. I think that was a favor to Alabama, going fast when it didn't really need to there on that fourth and short. And Alabama made the play. So kudos to Kane Womack and that Alabama defense in the last quarter and change. Wasn't bad to start the game. You know, got a couple of stops, got a three and out early, got off the field after the 14-0 start for Alabama. Offense is rolling. Defense is getting off the field. But then the explosive runs kind of cranked up for the Georgia Bulldogs for the rest of the half and really into the start of the third quarter. So it was a little bit of an ominous situation there at 24-21. Give Alabama credit into half, I thought, in the second quarter when it got the football back in a 17-14 game, knowing that it was getting the ball coming out to start the third, remained aggressive, went down, got in the end zone to make it a 10-point game. That's a situation right there under Nick Saban where Nick's probably taking those timeouts and going to the half. Kind of speaks to how you can do things differently and still come out with a favorable result. But Alabama with a 10-point lead came out, start third quarter, thought, you know, going to go down and get some more. But you had a field goal go awry there to put you up 13. And then it It got tight. You know, Gunnar Stockton, though, didn't hurt Alabama with his arm, really. 13 of 20, 130. Had the bust in coverage. You know, still a pretty choppy night on the back end in some ways for Alabama. But I'll tell you this, late in the game, right? I think you saw some guys make some plays there. Dejon Lee had a big play. I thought he was going to get maybe hit with the horse collar there for a second, but he didn't. And you also had, I think, an illegal shift on Georgia in that situation. So some guys stepped up, man. Tim Keenan, he was definitely a tone setter early in the game, I thought, there in the middle. You saw Alabama do some interesting things schematically, coming out in kind of a 3-4 look. Then Quay Rousseau goes out of the game. But I'll tell you this, man, Yanze Pierre playing a high level of edge football right now, not just getting after the passer either. If there was one guy I trusted tonight to set an edge, and there weren't many, Yanze Pierre was up there. Yanze Pierre can set an edge, and he can get after the quarterback. He also does a good job in his pass rush if you watch him. And they'll run a game with him, and he'll come in, you know, loop inside. And if he's not going to get there, he's got that length, and he'll get those hands up into passing lanes, at least to create a vision issue, you know, and muddy the picture, so to speak. But the Alabama offensive line, I'm kind of spitballing. We're going to get to your comments, by the way. Appreciate everybody late night jumping into the show chat. We'll get to them. Alabama offensive line, give them credit. You know, not just a big boy catch and run from Caden Proctor at the end of the first half. And even better, Caden Proctor with the ball in his left hand, running to his left down the sideline. Grubb, man, he was wild there for a minute. I said it on Spaces at halftime. It was almost like, you know, Gus Malzahn and Bobby Petrino had a kid, and it was Ryan Grubb. He was in hold my beer mode. You know, at some points you felt like, you know, it might be a little much, because fundamentally Alabama wasn't running the football very effectively early in the game. But it was getting looks off of play action. You know, it would run on first down, get 2 yards, and then come back on second down, go play action, and Ty was ripping it, just like he had against ULM and Wisconsin. You kind of wondered if that was, you know, going to translate to Georgia. Well, it did, certainly in the first half. Georgia did a better job in the second half, kind of like the Alabama defense did a better job in the second half. Again, with everything that happened in that second half, there were just 7 points scored. Now, that was kind of weird to look up and see there at the end of the night. I thought Grubb maybe a little bit in the second half got empty a little more than you might have thought he would because of the success with the play action in the first half on early downs, but he got back to it too. You know, there was one possession where they came out, ran it on first down, got 2 yards, and then went empty on second down, didn't get anything. But after that, he seemed to get back into more of that play action stuff. But what did you worry about with Alabama offensively in a situation like this tonight? Exactly the way it played out. 24-21 game, 3:30. I was a little surprised that Kirby punted it there. 3:30 left in the game and 4-minute offense. I mean, this is what it's for. 3:30 left in the game, you're up three. And typically you think 4-minute offense, you think run game. Teams that can really just line up, and even if you know they're coming with it, you can't stop the run. They get the couple of first downs, you burn up the timeouts, and they just take the clock. But Ryan Grubb had some things, and the run game was good enough. You know, we've talked about that on the channel before. Alabama's not going to be, typically, under Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb, they're not going to be a 55 rush per game type of offense. 38 or so tonight was actually pretty high. But what you thought might be important going into this game, as much as just pure rushing stats, was scrimmage yards for the running backs. And I think between Jam making his first start of the season, Jam with some big plays late, that's what you wanted from him coming back. But also early, I thought, you know, Alabama, again, off play action, created some real opportunities for itself. Ryan had the drop on the deep ball. But give Ryan Williams some credit, too. There were some different areas where this team showed the requisite resiliency, because even though it went wire to wire tonight, didn't feel like it, did it? Alabama went wire to wire in this game. There were some big moments and some plays where, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, Ryan, actually, his easiest catch of the night, he dropped. And then the tough ones he made, pretty much. I think Alabama had two drops on the night. But Ryan showed some toughness. I know Herb Street kind of got on him about blocking and things like that. But Jeremy Bernard, Isaiah Horton, huge tonight. The spreading of the wealth. I mean, when you're lateraling it, I guess, technically, to your left tackle, you don't spread it any more than that, do you? But Alabama, much needed. Replacement grade, I would say, from that performance against Florida State. After the loss to Florida State, you knew this team was going to have to make it up in at least one other place on the schedule. And it did that. Now, look, doesn't get any easier. We'll talk more about this later in the show. We'll get more into the chat and things like that. I mean, Vanderbilt's coming to Tuscaloosa next weekend, and Vandy's scoring about 50 a game. Diego is on his thing. And that is a good football team, especially offensively. Now, they gave up some points to Utah State today. But I can promise you, Diego isn't going in there scared next week. And so the response to this, Kalen DeBoer, very much a big game hunter. No disputing that at this point. Kirby a couple of times now. Sark a couple of times, I think. Lanning, you know. Brian Kelly. He's got some. He keeps his taxidermist busy with the big game. Need to put some fowl up there now. You know, the Vandies and some of those. And maybe this is what this team needed moving forward. It should be an ultimate confidence builder. I still don't trust the defense, if I'm being totally honest with you. It made plays tonight when it needed to. It was helped out some as well. But again, that's what it takes. I mean, that's usually, I don't care how good you are, how well coached you are, that's typically what it's going to take to win a game like tonight. Ty Simpson has to be very squarely right in the middle of the Heisman Trophy mix right now, too. That's a huge stage tonight. 33-game home win streak on the line for the Georgia Bulldogs. And he goes in there and does the job. So we'll get into more of it as we kind of spitball here. We got Jason Moss chiming in here in the chat. I guess from the Georgia perspective, decided to go for it on fourth instead of tying the game at 24. Yeah, I mean, look, again, Georgia averaged 7 yards per carry for the game. I think if Georgia, in retrospect, takes its time and just lines up and runs its best play there, you know, they may convert that. But I don't think Georgia helped itself by going hurry up there. I am such not a fan of the hurry ups in goal line and short yardage, especially on fourth downs. It just feels like more often than not, these OCs just outthink themselves and you end up getting stuffed. And that's what happened to Georgia tonight. Again, give LT Overton, that defense, a lot of credit. Tex Tider chiming in. Howdy, TR, Roll Tide. How about it, Tex? Andrew chiming in. That run defense is concerning for next week. It's concerning for Monday. It's concerning for Sunday practice. But it was somewhat better, I guess, later in the game. But sure. I mean, you're giving up After the first Georgia possession of the third quarter, Alabama was giving up 9 yards per carry into the third quarter. And yeah, that's with what Alabama's got coming. You know, Ahmad Hardy, you know, you can talk about Vanderbilt. Have you seen Ahmad Hardy from Mizzou? You're going to Columbia in a couple weeks. I don't want to diminish from this win. But
at Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
But the point is, yes, there is still a lot to worry about. Trent here says, Kane Womack has to go. No run defense was awful. We haven't been able to contain the edge since he has been here. It's baffling to me how Alabama just week in and week out gets worked on the perimeter. And it wasn't just Damani Jackson. I mean, all too often you got both your inside linebackers in the same gaps. And I'm sure on the grease board and in the film room and everything else, Kane's not drawing it up that way. But we're 17 games in now, and a lot of guys came back, and it's still happening. Too much. Jack says he's glad to see Alabama finally take the clock at the end, right? Absolutely. Alabama got the ball back, and it was as simple as that. 3:30 left in the game. Is the Alabama offense going to win the game? I mean, at that point, the defense had done the job. As crazy as that sounds, with all the explosive runs. I mean, if Georgia knew going into this game that it was going to run for 227 and average 7 yards per carry, I think the dogs would have felt pretty good about things. The big thing, though, too, is third down, Alabama defensively got off the field, or at least got it to fourth down. Between third and fourth downs, when Alabama wasn't getting gashed, Georgia on possession plays, 2 of 9, 2 of 8 on third down, and 0 for 1 on fourth. Alabama came into this game giving up more than 40% of its third down. So, look, if I told you coming into this game, Georgia's only going to convert 25% of its thirds, you probably would have felt pretty good about it. But then the 227 rushing, I don't think you would have, because what did Florida State run for? Florida State ran for 230, 3 more yards. That didn't end very well. But in the big moments, again, Alabama, the turnover that Georgia had deep on its own end, that looked big late, didn't it? Good on Bray Hubbard. Forces a fumble there. There were about 3 different scenarios in the game that felt like turnovers, and I think only one was a turnover. The deep ball drop, I'm sure, to Georgia felt like a turnover. And there was one more. Well, the fourth down stop that Alabama got there in the fourth quarter when Cash Jones got just enough of Cash Jones for him to go down there. That was, you know, that's like, and you look at Alabama. They show Alabama here in the box is 0 for 1 on fourth, but Ty converted that one. I loved it. Under center sneak, and then was it Ellis Robinson for Georgia goes pile diving. That was some boneheaded stuff. And should have been targeting, too. He launched, led with his head. I think it was Bernard that he hit. And so, Bray Hubbard defensively for Alabama with 9 tackles. He had the forced fumble, huge. He had a pass breakup. Bray was in position a couple of times. I give Stockton credit on one throw. He fit that thing in there between about 4 guys on a 3rd and long. Very productive for Bray. Justin Jefferson, 8 tackles. LT Overton ended up with the big tackle for loss on the fourth down. Alabama with 6 tackles for loss. And to kind of speak to the job Alabama did from a protection and run game perspective, just 4 tackles for loss for Georgia in the game. Both teams only had 1 sack. Neither of these teams right now have that guy like a Trayvon Walker or a Jaylen Walker for Georgia, or even a Mykel Williams for Georgia in the last year or two. Alabama doesn't have a Will Anderson. Doesn't have really, I don't know, maybe Yonze Pierce becoming Dallas Turner-ish at least. He's playing at a very high level, but just a game wrecker, pass rusher type. Neither one of these teams really have that guy now. I think Pierre, though, can become more of that guy, and he may need to, because need to find out, I guess, about Quay Rousseau and that lower extremity injury. I tell you something else. I thought Blake Dowd did a nice job tonight. He only punted 3 times, and he averaged 40, but he had 2, what, down inside the 10? Big. Good job. Talty made the 24-yarder. The 43-yarder never had a chance. He toe-wrapped it. He got his toe wrapped around the ball, and it looked like a U.S. Ryder Cup team shot. Da-da-da-da. Too soon still for that? Probably. All right, what else do we got here in the show chat? Let's see. Our offense going forward, Tex Titer says, against good teams should be passing to set up the run unless other D is porous on the front 7. I like the wordage there, porous. I mean, come on. This is a late night football chat, Tex. No, in all seriousness, I think that's kind of the way it's going to be. I still think, Tex, and I like this. I like this sort of trend towards first down runs to kind of set up second down play action, or, you know, first down play action after you've at least tried to run. You got to try to run the ball. You got to try, because if you don't, I think you probably lose maybe the very best part of this offense right now, which is tie off play action. Helps your protection, you know, creates space. And even though Ryan dropped that deep ball early, that impacted Georgia on the back end. You didn't, I guess later in the game, you saw the safeties maybe get a little more involved in the box, but that backed them up. And you were able to kind of hit what you wanted to hit. It's a good point here. By Walk 8189. Gotta love how this team protects the ball. Going to win the turnover battle a lot this year. Yeah, they continue to keep that column clean. That's also what I liked about Jam coming back too. You figure he's going to do that, but the other backs have. And it was really a 2-back night tonight, wasn't it? I mean, it was Jam and Kevin Riley, and Kevin Riley as a receiver continues to come up big. Again, you got about 130 scrimmage yards out of your 2 backs. I mean, that's going to be a winning type of situation for Alabama. If you keep the turnovers out of it and your backs are giving you just 130 scrimmage yards, and then you include the tight ends in that. Caleb Edwards had a big catch tonight. Josh Cuevas came up big a couple times. You take tight end, running back scrimmage yards, put them together, you know, they're up around 175 or so. Yeah, SK says second half was too conservative, especially running the ball twice after the turnover. I guess you're talking, was that the field? No, that was in the first half. That wasn't in the second half. I didn't like the back-to-back runs after the fumble recovery. It almost felt like it was such a sudden change. Maybe, you know, you're not anticipating the next possession. to come at you like that. Although I know they plan for everything, sudden change, those type of things, especially down on that end of the field. You know, you might see something out towards midfield, and then with the field to work with, you'll typically, off a sudden change, see an offense take a shot from midfield on the next play. That was a different one in the red zone. And I thought after the first down run, we were going to get that play action. And we didn't really get it. And so Alabama, what, 4 for 4 in the red zone, but that was the only field goal. Trent, you know, I've tried to tell you guys and gals about the man on the X account. Trent says he thought his bet of over the 52.5 was a lock at halftime. I did too, man. I was tweeting as much. Mid-30s felt like you were going to have to get to. And that didn't change after that first Georgia possession of the third quarter. I mean, when it got to 24-21 and Georgia didn't even break a sweat running it down the field, I don't know. I mean, at that point, there's no way you could have thought, yeah, we're good. 24, we're good. No. David checking in here. Really enjoy your YouTube channel. Amazing game by the Tide. How would you rate Jam Miller's game today? And what do you think Ryan Williams needs to do to become more effective? Ryan needs to just be more consistent with his hands. What is it now? 12, 13 drops in 4 games. I think he leads college football in that. That's the biggest thing. I mean, he's still getting open. Like I said, he made the hard plays tonight. It's the easy one. It was the, you know, the ones that you dream about being able to make. The easy post over the top behind the defense and prance into the end zone. Just got to be more consistent with catching the football. I thought, again, he had some physical tough catches. Scott says we needed a real kicker. The field goal miss changed the momentum of the game. Yeah, I thought you got behind the sticks a little bit there at the end of that possession. And I thought Ty got a little greedy on the play before the field goal attempt. If you watch the replay, and that, you know, look, Ty's feeling it. You want Ty to be confident. You want him to be aggressive. But that was a situation given the down and distance. If he checks it down in the left flat, the Jeremy Bernard, in hindsight, I know is 1,000%. Check it down there. If you don't get the first down, then it's like a 32 yarder instead of a 43. So there's things like that, but Talty's got to make a 43 yarder. I mean, at this level, he does. And I thought Talty's kickoffs were important because you knew Zach Branch could be a big part of this thing in the returns. And that pretty much took that out of it with the touchbacks. Take it to the house chiming in. Big win, but good Lord, how do you get ready for Vandy next week? Just got to outscore them to win. It's crazy, right, that we're talking about Vandy this way, but it's true. But offensively, you should have a ton of confidence. And defensively, you still have plenty to prove. Grade A Music chiming in here. What's up with Damani? Is he injured or something? Kept getting beaten on the edge. I just think there's a couple of guys in that secondary that their eyes aren't always so good, you know, or their first sort of instinct and or their ability to stay with the technique. It could be Kane's calling things where if you play the technique, you know, you're not giving up leverage constantly. And that was very problematic, especially when teams are running into the boundary and you're still giving up the edge. And as I said earlier, it's not just a Damani Jackson thing, which makes it more concerning. You still got guys that got to figure it out. And you're not going to have James Smith for the first half next week. Not that James has been consistent through four games. Let's see. No Serfdom chimes in. Rundy sucked, but really missed Latham, Rusall, and Smith. Yeah, I could see that with Quay, especially since they came out with Quay and Pierre together as kind of their edge guys or their outside linebackers in that 3-4 type of look. Quay can do that. Gosh, you saw Justin Hill in there. And as you said, without Latham too. This wasn't a good game for that. That's a good point. No Serfdom. And then James Smith, you didn't have him for the second half. Monday Wire, mean guy. Today's Tom Sawyer. All right, I like that handle, man. Tom Sawyer chiming in. D stood tall when they had to, but how much of that was on Bobo being trash? You know Mike's getting it. And Kirby's getting it. Because of Mike. Yeah, that was, like I said, I thought going fast on that fourth down, that was a big help for Alabama. I think that helped a lot. I still don't get it. Lane loves it. All these offensive gurus, Sark. I mean, so I'm wrong, obviously. All these offensive whizzes, they love to go fast in short yardage and goal line. I don't know, man. I don't know, RC Titer. Kirby loves him some Cash Jones, especially in possession plays, you know? It's kind of that guy's going to sell out for Old State U or something, maybe. But I don't disagree. It was a nice play by Overton, but I think there are a lot of backs. You know, thank God Swift or, you know, those guys aren't at Georgia anymore. Didn't seem to see a lot of Nate Frazier after that fumble, did we? But it was a good play by Overton. There was also some good fortune involved there. Because a better back probably has enough to run through that and get maybe even into the end zone. Grade A music, Sab got beat. Yeah, I think that was the deep ball that you're talking about. You got some guys, man, with some eyes that lie sometimes. Keon is, I've said this for a year plus now, I think, about Keon Sab. I love him when everything's in front of him or he's coming downhill. I love him. But if it's got the potential to go behind him, and you even saw it from Damani Jackson tonight too, saw some Zay Mincy in there as well. Yeah, Rat, I agree. That was a hell of a play call to end it. We talked about it earlier. That was my thought. I tweeted this. I thought this is where you go zone read with Ty, and he keeps. I mean, you're working off the belief that they aren't going to let you hand it to the back there and beat them for 5 yards. So you run something off of that, though, where Ty keeps it, and a lot of times you'll see a slicer come across. Lane likes that. He used to do it with Amari at Alabama, wide receiver. But you have a slicer kind of come off, or a slider come off with him to the front side and or to the backside, and you got either an easy throw or the quarterback keeps it because you're trying to stay in bounds there too. Kirby kind of helped you with the timeout management before the 2-minute warning, didn't he? But that was a hell of a play call because that thing was synced up with what looked like a zone run to the left. And these linebackers are going to key these OLs. And you bring the back from across the quarterback. back linebackers get all screwed up. I thought Grubb was really good all night in keeping Georgia outflanked. You know, we've seen teams do it to Alabama's defense, but I thought Ryan did a really good job. It just felt like Georgia was chasing a lot and they were outflanked a lot. Grade A checking back in. Losing James Smith to a bogus targeting call. Yeah, that's tough. You know, when you're talking about around the line of scrimmage like that. But yeah, once I saw the replay though, I had no doubt. Not saying that it's the best football going, but based on where we're at and what we've got, I said, well, he's gone for the second half. And Vandy. Dylan, I caught Kalen post game. I didn't hear any. I may have missed it, but I didn't hear anything definitive on Quay Rousseau. The pass pro was great, Dylan Young says. We have a lot of OL who can play good football, like eight guys. That was interesting tonight, man. William Sanders in there at left guard. You had a stretch where you had Wilkin Formby at right guard and Michael Carroll at right tackle. And then you're starting to wonder, are they down some guys? Did they get some guys hurt? And then they come out to start the third quarter, and it's the starting five that started the game. No. Kapilovic and Grubb are fine playing these guys, which is awesome, you know, because you're probably going to need at least two or three of them for an extended stretch with the way things go from an injury perspective, and keeps that competition hot, man. You know, I thought Michael Carroll was good again when he was in there. I like Sanders. I thought this about Sanders when he came out of Brookwood a few years ago. And especially when DeBoer came in, I thought he would be a good fit because of the screens and he can get out, because a lot of his tape from high school, he wasn't a 320 pounder, but he was a guy that could get out in front of things. He could pull, you know, do some things. So it's cool to see him, you know, sort of bide his time a little bit, continue to get better. And Parker Brailsford's the constant though, folks. That dude just gets it done. Snap in and snap out. Everything else around him might change, but not him. Philip Thomas says, Gunnar Stockton ain't that guy. He ain't the guy. You're not the guy. You're not the guy, pal. You remember that? Yeah. You're not that guy. You know, I think the one thing Alabama wanted to do, and it worked out this way and kind of helping them get to that lead, was Stockton working from the pocket. So yeah, I mean, if you told Georgia before the game, he's only going to throw it 20 times and you're going to run for 7 yards per carry, Georgia would have liked that scenario. But again, Georgia only ran 55 plays in a game. The problem is when you get him to third down, can he do enough? And especially third and more than like six. Absolutely, Leo. Watching the game, Leo says, Jam is not a game breaker, but that 7 yard run on first down on that last possession, it allowed Alabama to really dictate from second and three. No doubt. And Georgia knew they were going to run it. And he had another little chunk run, too, on that possession before he made the big catch. Keno says, very few kickers going to be as good as we just had. We're spoiled. Yeah, I mean, Will Reichard, if that's – then you had the bridge guy last year who was fine. But I thought before tonight, and he made the first one, thought he'd been fine, you know. What else do we have? Um, Justin Summerhill with some Edric Hill love. Yeah, I agree. You know, he got hit for the one gash when I think maybe he was in there with Fonga. And you gotta rotate people, man. I mean, it wasn't realistic to go into this game with Tim Keenan coming back from an ankle and think, you know, if Georgia ran 55 plays, he was going to play 50. They like to rotate. Most teams do, especially up front. I think it was Edric and Faga that got washed out pretty good. But overall, and they need Overton to be more consistent. I mean, it's nice that he did step up in a big moment tonight. I mean, that's huge. But again, their four-man pass rush, it's not a consistent thing for them. You know, CeCe's mentioning the no turnovers too. You know what I like tonight too, especially on the road, was the limited penalties for Alabama. I think it was 2 for 6 yards in the first half. One of those was the hold on Xavien Brown down tight down there. I think in the second quarter. Yeah. And then what for the game? What was it? It wasn't much at all. It was I'm still looking. These box scores are so elaborate now, man. You gotta have a beautiful mind to kind of look through them. And it wasn't a lot. I think the second half, it was another 10 yards or something. So that was nice to see on the road. They were ready. That's what that told me, especially on the offensive side. It did look like Grubb was dialed in. And he had them dialed in. And, you know, you wondered how much the previous two games really meant. Well, they obviously meant a lot for Ty because his confidence, you could just tell, was at a different level than it was in his first road start. It's a good question, Sully. Sully's asking, wonder how many spots Bama moves up and how far Georgia drops in the rankings. Does Florida State drop below Alabama? Not that it matters. Just interesting for tomorrow, right? Florida State goes on the road Friday night, loses to Virginia. I didn't think that did wonders for Alabama. But does Florida State fall below Alabama, even with the head-to-head? Yeah, I would think Georgia falls 5-6 spots at least. I mean, I think there are some people out there that just look at this result tonight and go, well, that's Alabama. I mean, for Kirby Smart, it's like Alabama is Miami and he's Bobby Bowden. If you're an older head like me, you recall Bobby Bowden and the struggles he had against my alma. But I think he was still like 13-21 against Miami. And Kirby's 1-7. And you start doing the math on that over 30 games or so. It's kind of Bowden Miami-like, isn't it? I thought, I love Matt chiming in, says Georgia defense looked gassed. They should have. Alabama ran 25 plays in the first quarter. Yeah, Jonathan, the Alabama defense is allowing yards on the perimeter. And guess who's coming up? Diego. Yep. Diego and more perimeter-based offense. And that shovel pass. How many of you folks are going to be yelling, get ready for the shovel pass? Or here comes the shovel pass. Probably me. Eli Stowers. Yeah, the pressure, Jonathan, that's what I was talking about earlier. Just with a four-man rush organically, it's still not what you want it to be, but Yonzi Pierre, you need more of that. Ryan Thornhill chiming in. We still own Georgia. Overall, I love the mettle of this team. I loved it tonight and their ability to stay the course like in this game. Winning the game with defense like old school Alabama. Defense was good enough tonight. I mean, you held them to 21 in their ballpark. That's all that should matter. How you got there, you know, you can spend a lot of time talking about it. But big moments, got the takeaway deep on the Georgia end in the first half. You think about the difference in the game. You got 3 points out of that. David Barbé, Dylan, is that the music guy in Athens? I don't know. I'm thinking of the Drive-By Truckers producer, I think, maybe, Dylan. Yeah, Nick, the Ryan Grubbs screen game is elite. And I'll tell you, man, the quick game, it's just a total different deal than last year. And we talked about it last year that with Jalen, for whatever reason, that wasn't his thing. And there's some free yards out there if you can take advantage of it. And the screen game. Ty does a nice job with those. He makes them look easier than they really are. And I like the variety of them. And I know those offensive linemen love them. Sam says, Travis, be real with me. Uh-oh. We're going to get serious now. I know the defense did what they needed to do in the second half, but do you think this defense can sustain or hold up for the entirety of the rest of the season? I told you earlier, I'm worried about the Alabama defense when it goes back to practice, let alone Vanderbilt on Saturday, or Missouri and Ahmad Hardy on the road in a couple of Saturdays. No, I didn't. Hey, good for those guys. Good for Kane. W is a W. You know, there ain't no room for pictures on the scorecard. But, I made the mistake of looking at the upcoming schedule. I mean, Vanderbilt this next Saturday, Missouri on October the 11th on the road, Tennessee, October 18th, on the road at SC, the SC light. Well, maybe not. I mean, SC heavy. Don't look all that heavy. LSU with a tough loss today. You talk about it getting noisy down there for Brian Kelly. And then we'll see about John Mateer in mid-November. You know, but I think based on the timelines they're saying for his hand, he should – barring a setback or something else, you should get the full John Mateer experience. I mean, it just doesn't let up. I mean, you know that. But it's also, I mean, it also is maybe at some point this clicks for the Alabama defense. There is that possibility that they could improve. As hard as that, maybe tonight goes a long way in that. What else do we have? I saw Josh brings up his point about Proctor, and give him credit. I mean, we've all kind of gotten on him at one time or another. He was good tonight. There was one situation. It looked like he sat on the guy in pass pro. Okay, Dylan, I got you on David Barbé. I mean, he's a Truckers guy. He can't be that bad. You know, I think those Vandy tickets are going to look a lot better. Sam, I think the Tuscaloosa ticket man, he loved that tonight. Yeah. And, I mean, proximity, not that Vanderbilt's known to travel, but, I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you were ever going to travel, this would be the team, right? Yeah, I think the ticket market got a boost tonight. No doubt about it, where the Alabama Crimson Tide is concerned. All right, so coming up here on the channel real quick before we go any further, we will have Talking Tide on Sunday night with Chase Goodbread. I'm thinking there will be a second watch tomorrow, Sunday morning. It's already Sunday morning on the East Coast. We'll do a second watch in some form or fashion. And then we'll move into Vanderbilt week. And as always, we thank you a ton for joining us right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button right there. And then if you don't mind, hit that notifications bell. That way, when we release content here on the channel, you'll be alerted to it. Thumbs up would be tremendously helpful as well. Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for staying up late. Thank you, Sam, and everyone else. And until tomorrow, good night, everybody.